From Acts 10, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, "Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he?" And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel comes from John, the 15th chapter, again, upper room discourse, where Jesus is getting ready to say goodbye to his beloved disciples as he gets ready for the cross. And he's sharing very intimate and thought-provoking ideas with them, drawing them close. And he says to them, "Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, we are so grateful for your word, for we know that it leads us to life. We ask that your Holy Spirit would guide us now so that we would be centered on your path and that you would be easily seen as you seek to teach us from your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Fruit goes pretty quickly at our house. I have to say that Kathy eats more fruit than I do, but she eats a lot of fruit and I like it too. And one of the staples of that of the fruit is apples. You know, there's an old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor. You want to keep your doctor away? Okay. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. In other words, you don't have to go to the doctor because an apple cures everything. Well, not quite. But it really is good to eat fruit. And when I go to the store to buy apples, I spend a little time choosing. I look for good color and for firmness, a balanced shape, no bruises. And when I eat an apple, I want it to be crisp, a flavorful piece of fruit. I seek to choose well so that I will not be disappointed with the fruit that I eat. This passage of Scripture, where Jesus draws his disciples close to him, says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Like fruit, God, through Christ, has chosen us. We are a chosen people. That's what that's all about. You did not choose me, I chose you. The Greek word that's there means to actually means to gather out of a selection of possibilities. You know, when you go to the store and you see, you know, it's not like in when I was in Rwanda and I was hankering for some chocolate. And so I went to the local supermarket and there was chocolate there, but I had one choice. There was a Cadbury chocolate bar. That was it. So you want chocolate? That's what it's going to be. When we go to the supermarket, we have so many choices, don't we? I mean, that's the pasta aisle. Look, all the choices of pasta. And, you know, and it goes on for a whole aisle. At our shop, right, at least it does. We're used to being pretty choosy. This word, to choose, means to gather out of a selection of possibilities. So God has all kinds of possibilities as he looks out over his creation when he wants to make choices as to who he will use to serve him. And the good news is, Jesus says to his followers, I've chosen you. You know what that means? That means you are hand-picked by Jesus. So am I. But it's not so much individually. It's us. Abraham was chosen to be the father of many nations. And so he had Isaac. And Isaac had Jacob. And Jacob became the father of 12 tribes. And the word came to Jacob, I've chosen you. You are my chosen people. In what manner, in what fashion was Israel chosen? We have to go back to the grocer. It wasn't the individuals. It was the nation. I can choose loose apples, one by one, or I can choose a bag of apples. God chose a bag, and he called the bag Israel. And later he expanded the bag to the church. So we are the chosen people. But it wasn't like he said, well, Margaret, I'm going to choose you. And Woodlin, I'm going to choose you. And Sam, I'm going to choose you. No. He chose the church. And when we choose to become a part of the church, we become part of the chosen. You see how that works? So God's chosen a bag of apples, and we're the bag when you become part of that bag of apples. And the bag of apples has a purpose. We've been appointed, according to this passage of Scripture, we have been appointed for the purpose of bearing fruit. An apple's purpose is not simply to be food for us. It's actually the purpose of it is to be planted so that it can grow more trees and grow more apples. And so as good apples, we've been chosen to invest ourselves in the lives of others. That's what moms do, you know. Most moms, I should say. Not every mom. I know that there are some hard situations where moms don't follow through in the way that they should. But most moms do a really good job at investing themselves in the lives of their sons and daughters. Dads do too. But there's always this special relationship between you and mom. After all, mom carried you, not just in her arms. There's this special relationship. And she sacrifices for you. Fruitfulness, if we're going to be fruitful, involves Holy Spirit character. You know, you read about fruitfulness of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Does that sound like your mom? Mostly, probably. Maybe one or a few of those characteristics didn't quite line up the way it should, but for the most part, yep, that's true. The fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit That's the character. And we don't simply do good deeds or give money to Nepal, which is great. We sacrifice. When we become part of that bag of fruit, we're taught that in that bag, we make sacrifices. Many of you will remember the story of Jackie Robinson. He was the first black man to play in Major League Baseball. And in his first season with the Brooklyn Dodgers, he faced venom just about everywhere that he went. It was at home at Dodger Stadium in Brooklyn, but it was also on the road. And one time when he was on the road, I should back up to say, you know, the kind of things that were done to him were unbelievable. He was spiked. He was called nasty, mean-spirited names, and you just do the math, you can figure out what those were. He was just hated. During one game, that we're not sure if it was in Boston or Cincinnati. The movie says it was Cincinnati. The book seems to say it's Boston, so I'm not sure. But the fact of the matter is the taunts and the racial slurs just seemed to reach a crescendo. And to make matters worse, Robinson had committed an error. And so he stood there at second base, completely humiliated, while the fans did anything but fan him. They panned him. They jeered at him. And the good news is that there was another Dodger, a southern white man named Pee Wee Reese. He called time out. And he walked over to second base, and he put his arm around Jackie Robinson, and the place got silent. Do you know what you know how much sacrifice that was for him? He wasn't sure what was going to happen out of that. But he did it. He went over and put his arm around this black man. And Jackie Robinson and his wife went on later to say, that's what kept him in the game. That kind of support. An arm around him while everybody else was cheering. That's fruit. That's the kind of fruit we're talking about. And that's what God wants to see in his church. He's chosen us, chosen this bag, that we would be fruitful. And the fruitfulness oftentimes means sacrifice. And the power of fruit bearing is in what we've just talked about. It's in connection. There are a couple of connective terms in this passage of Scripture. The first one is the idea of the vine and the branches. I already mentioned the fact that if there's no connection, there's no fruit. Again, those flowers are beautiful. In God's economy, the flowers are supposed to die, fall, and then what happens? Fruit forms, which can then give rise to not only feeding people, but to more trees and more fruit. So those flowers are never going to do it. They're pretty. But they need to get a little ugly first on the tree until the fruit comes. No connection, no fruit. Draw us close to you, Lord. Never let us go. Because we know that it's in this connection. When I'm close to you, I am my most fruitful. That's when I can love unconditionally. If I get away from you, I start to get a little sour. Draw me close to you. Vine and branches. And then another term that's used that's connective is the term friends. Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Friends talk to each other. This word friend is the same word that we learn about with Abraham. When Abraham had this close relationship with the Father, we read in James chapter 2 that the scripture was fulfilled. It says, Abraham believed God, and that word believe means he trusted God. And that's what, by the way, what Pee Wee Reese was doing, whether he knew it or not, when he walked across to second base. He was trusting providence. He was trusting God, that what he was doing was the right thing. He probably really knew that, but that he wasn't going to be booed out of the place. Because that could have happened. But he did it anyway. Abraham believed God. He trusted God. And it was reckoned to him as righteousness, as a good relationship. So he was called what? The friend of God. That's a great title, isn't it? To be called the friend of God. And friends, as I say, friends talk to each other. For many, our first friends, again, are our mothers. And the key, remember, in any relationship is trust. Mom's the one who generally gets to do it first. And in the first year of our lives, as they are nurturing us, holding us to their breasts, we learn something about trust. If we can get it right in that first year of life, it generally bodes well for the rest of our lives. The sad thing is, even in that first year of life, trust is very fragile and very easily broken. And so, moms, I want to say to you, you know, that's the most tender time of life. And I want to say to you who are yet to be moms, think about this. It's not the teenage years that are most important. It's the first year of doing the very best you can. Now, don't go on a guilt trip, moms. You say, you know what? Is that where it went wrong? No, no, don't do that to yourself. You know, the horse is out of the barn. Maybe you're learning something now. But give thanks for the healing that can take place. Because God can do that too. It's all part of the fruitfulness as we open our hearts to our sons and daughters. And I know some of you are opening your hearts to your sons and daughters, and they're not always receiving that heart. That's a sad thing. I want to say, keep trying. Draw close to the Lord and allow him to be the fruitfulness in you. He's the one. Keep in prayer. We'll pray with you until that's effected. In this friendship, we bear our souls. We tell our troubles. We reveal our plans. All the special information gets shared. I remember many, many Tuesdays with Mom at Panera. That's where we went every Tuesday for the last 7 years since Dad had passed. And there, over soup or a Panera salad or a sandwich, we usually shared. You know, we got one meal and shared it. Kind of cheap we are, but it worked. It was enough. But it was over that meal. Sometimes there was silence. But there was also over that meal that I shared a lot of the things that were going on with me. And she often said to me, you know, I never have to pull things out of you like I have to do with your sister. And that's not to speak badly of my sister. It just felt like it was free. You know, I could trust Mom. And so that's the kind of relationship that God wants to honor. Remember, Abraham had the confidence of Yahweh, of his Lord. And in Genesis 18, in verse 1, we read these words, where God's working something out. He says, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? And the answer is no, because friends share with friends. That's the way it's supposed to be. In this intimacy of relationship, God tells us how much God loves us and shares intimate things with our hearts if we'll draw close. Brennan Manning tells the story of an Irish priest who was often taking walking tours of his parish. And he saw an old man kneeling by the side of the road who was praying. And he was impressed. And so the priest said to the man, you must be very close to God. And the old man looked up from his prayers. And he thought a moment, then he smiled and said, "Yes, he's very fond of me. God is very fond of me." You know, that's when the relationship gets that close, we know. And I've gotten to that place in my life, and I hope you do too, to know that God's love for you and for me, for his chosen, and for those who are not yet part of the chosen, is unconditional. There's nothing that I can do that can make God think poorly of me. And the same goes for you. Would you take that and put it in your safe deposit box? Because that's a treasure that cannot be replaced and not found anywhere else, even in a mother. Jesus says, "I've chosen you." He could have chosen any group, any bag, but he says, "No, I've chosen you. I've chosen Israel. I've chosen the church. I've chosen you to bear fruit, to invest yourselves in the lives of others." And the power of fruit bearing is the connection that we have, the friendships, abiding in the vine. What kind of apple are you? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this powerful connection that you have given to us because of Jesus. Thank you for this unconditional love. And for those who are yet to experience the peace that that brings, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work right now, doing some heart surgery, rearranging, so that we know that no matter what other people might think of us, you think pretty highly of us. Even when we're broken and sinful, you love us unconditionally. Thank you, Lord, for that love, because it helps us to sleep at night, and it helps us to grow in the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.